We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
Pharmacists are among the most trusted healthcare professionals that exist, you know, when you compare them to doctors and nurses and other types of folks. And so it's a really interesting retail experience where there is a real human interaction that has real need and real value, but that actually the store part of it makes the experience worse.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. It's likely that many of us have run into difficulties while trying to pick up a prescription, from long lines to medications being out of stock. So especially in the middle of a pandemic, avoiding these inconveniences seems like a pretty good idea. Today, we're talking to Eric Kanariwala, the founder and CEO of the online pharmacy Capsule, to learn more about the company and how it's growing rapidly to meet the health needs of customers and how the pandemic has impacted its business. For today's episode, I'm joined by my colleague, my friend, and my co-host, Susan Retta. Hello, Susan.
Hey, Bill. It's nice to be here.
It's great to see you. I mean, you know, it's not in person. I can't wait for that moment. But even just to see you in video is quite the treat.
I agree. We all miss each other. It's been difficult.
It has been difficult. And Eric, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Thanks for having me.
It's really fantastic that you could be here. And you've got a great story. So we're going to start with the story first. So Eric, start at the beginning. Where did this all begin?
You know, I was living on the Lower East Side of New York in 2015, and I woke up one morning with this killer headache, and I called my doctor, and he asked me a series of questions, and it basically said, hey, you've got a sinus infection, don't worry about it, I'll call a prescription in, go get it. I was like, perfect. And so I put my coat on, and I went out on this snowy January day, and I walked to this chain pharmacy at Delancey and Orchard in New York City, and literally everything you can think about going wrong with the pharmacy went wrong for me. And sort of the minute I walked in, you know, so I'm kind of meandering through the store, past aisles of candy bars and cigarettes and greeting cards and, you know, cleaning supplies. And I actually can't find the pharmacy part of the drugstore. And so this, you know, nice woman comes up and says, can I help you? And I said, yeah, I'm looking for, you know, my doctor called the prescription. I'm looking for the pharmacy. And she kind of says, oh, it's in the basement. I was kind of scratching my head still pounding, not thinking too much about it. And I walk, you know, I walk myself to the back of the store and I get to this escalator. And of course, the escalator is broken. And so I walk down the escalator into this dark, dingy basement. And there's, you know, 30 or 40 people in line ahead of me. And my cell phone doesn't have service down there. And so I end up waiting in line for an hour. And I finally get to the counter. And, you know, I tell the pharmacist, I'm like, hey, my doctor called in a prescription. Can I get it? And so she goes back into the stock room and is sort of rummaging around and comes back with this really sort of, I think, defeated look on her face. She's like, I'm so sorry, we're out of stock. And so I have one of these moments. I'm like, it's January. It's the Z-Pack. Like, you know, how do you not have this in stock? I said, you know, don't worry about it. I'll just call my doctor and have him call in somewhere else. And so, of course, as I go to pull my cell phone out to call my doctor, I realize that my cell phone has died in the basement searching for signal for an hour. And I can't get a hold of them. So I ended up just going home with no medication in hand. And I went to bed and I woke up the next morning. And I had one of those moments that I think all of us have in our lives at some point, which is sort of like, what just happened? And how do I understand what just happened? And that was really the spark for me. So I started just unpacking my own experience about how I could have just wasted, you know, multiple hours and still not come away with my medication. And you know, coming out of that, I learned a couple of really interesting things that have been the foundation of Capsule. But I learned that, you know, unfortunately, my experience wasn't all that uncommon, and that there are all of these kind of familiar frustrations, I would call them, with the pharmacy that I've had and you've had and our families have had in getting and managing our medications. It's everything from long wait times to, you know, medications being out of stock to, gosh, like, why don't I even know the price of this medication before I pay for it? That's odd. And how do you know? I have a question, but I don't want half of New York City hearing my personal medical details in line behind me while I ask my question to the pharmacist. You know, kind of with the, you know, I think the classic entrepreneur, you know, there's got to be a better way. And what I learned is that the pharmacy is the second largest category of retail in America. It's $350 billion. There's 70,000 pharmacies in the US. And it's shockingly one of the least digitally penetrated categories. It's only 1 or 1.5% online. And that experience of going to the pharmacy hadn't changed in 50 or 100 years. It feels pretty similar as it did 50 years ago. And wow, I didn't realize that 70% of American adults go to the pharmacy at least once a month. And so the pharmacy is this really interesting kind of part of the kind of fabric of retail and the fabric of society. There's one on every street corner, you know, in the US. And it's something that in some ways is omnipresent and yet like invisible. And so it's sort of everywhere and yet has faded into the background. And that was the spark for me is really this like visceral sort of negative experience going there. And I had spent the early part of my career as an investor investing in healthcare and technology and retail businesses. And that combination of things didn't really make sense when I was 25. But, you know, thinking about the pharmacy being at this really interesting intersection of healthcare and retail and, you know, before capsule, like missing the technology component to it. But that was sort of the two things that came together for me that kind of kicked off what's been a fun and adventurous 5 years of building our business.
So most people, they have an experience like this. All they do is just get mad because they're sick, they're tired, and they can't believe what just happened to them. Instead, you go home, you go to sleep, you wake up, and you build a multi-million dollar business. That's pretty good. You're very motivated, Eric. I'm very impressed.
You know, it's just one of those things that made sense. It just clicked. I think it's one of those things where your head and your heart align. You kind of in your heart can like very, very viscerally understand the frustration that you have yourself and that other people have. And then your head part of it, you can kind of understand the market and the business and kind of why things the way they are. And so for me, it just clicked. And it's something that I said I wanted to spend, you know, the next very many years of my life making better for everybody.
Eric, you said that pharmacies have been around obviously for so long. They're part of the fabric of retail. And here you come in with this completely different approach to pharmacy. How was it received in the beginning? And how has that receptiveness evolved?
One of the things that is really interesting about pharmacy and pharmacists is that pharmacists are among the most trusted healthcare professionals that exist. You know, when you compare them to doctors and nurses and other types of folks. And so it's a really interesting retail experience where there is a real human interaction that has real need and real value, but that actually the store part of it makes the experience worse. And so it's this really interesting dichotomy where there is like, in a different way, there's an experience component to going to the pharmacy, but the way that we have all traditionally consumed that experience is pretty suboptimal. And so we started with day zero, we started with a blank sheet of paper today because we had the luxury or the opportunity of starting with a blank sheet of paper. And so how will we design the ideal pharmacy experience for the consumer? What would that look like? And how will we eliminate all of these familiar frustrations that all of us have faced? How will we solve persistent out of stocks? How will we create price transparency? How will we make it easy to get advice from a pharmacist about everything from your price of your medications and how your insurance works to actually how do I take this in my side effects and make that something as simple as the way you would text your friend or the way you would text your mom who would give you advice? And how do you bring that sort of love and warmth and timeless warmth of the corner pharmacy, but bring that into the modern age and be able to do that from the palm of your hand, kind of when and how and where you want to do that, and putting the control of the healthcare experience, putting the control of interacting with the pharmacy, and then the power back in the consumer's hand, literally. And that's where we started. And so the experience has been, you know, I think from the very beginning, either we, you know, got lucky or right with the first version of what the product experience was, that, you know, people immediately gravitated towards it, and they really loved the fact that they could control their experience. You know, when is my medication coming? What are the details about it? Why did my doctor prescribe this? What are the side effects that I can actually talk to a real human, you know, in a private and secure way? But also making sure that, you know, with the core experience that we made it simple and easy for people to use. And so it's three clicks and it shows up on your doorstep in a couple of hours. And that's something that, you know, nobody had ever done before. in healthcare or in pharmacy before. So it's been really, really well received from the very beginning. And I think we're really excited about the way people talk about it. And I think one of the things that kind of continues to surprise me as a founder is that the emotional connection that people have built with the experience and the brand is something that I didn't expect. And so when we look on the App Store and in Google and the reviews of how people talk about Capsule, it's something that's pretty boring. It's a pharmacy. And yet people have this like real emotional affinity to having somebody that has their back when they're at this vulnerable moment, when you're not feeling well, when you're busy, when you're frustrated that there's some coordination that needs to happen between your doctor and the insurance company and the pharmacy. And all you want to do is get your medication, get back to your life. And there's kind of nobody in your corner advocating for you. And so bringing those things together, I think, has really kind of resonated with the consumer and is a little bit of a lightning in a bottle in terms of the way that it's just kind of caught emotionally that kind of consumer's heart and mind.
Hey, Eric, for people that are not familiar with Capsule, tell us how it works.
So there's two ways you can use Capsule. It's really, really simple. The first is if you have a prescription sitting at another pharmacy, you can go to our website at capsule.com or download the app in the App Store, put in 5 or 6 pieces of information, and then Capsule becomes your pharmacy. The other way to use Capsule is even easier, believe it or not, which is if you're at the doctor's office and you're leaving the doctor's office and your doctor asks you, what's your pharmacy? You can simply say Capsule. We're already in your doctor's computer. And they send the prescription to us electronically and we get it. And then we basically send you a text message. You click on a link. You've got all of the information you need. Why did my doctor prescribe this? What's the name of my medication? What's the dosing? How many refills do I have left? What are the side effects? You can text or chat with any of the pharmacists along the way. You put in your address, you put in your credit card, and you pick a delivery slot, and it shows up. It shows up at your home later that day. And then on an ongoing basis, we'll coordinate with your doctor to make sure you never run out of medication. So you're never scrambling when you've got that last pill when you open your medicine cabinet, but that there's somebody always looking after you and making sure that you're taken care of.
You know, Eric, it's the word telemedicine has become really just part of our vernacular just in the last year or so. Now, Capsule doesn't do telemedicine, but I think that the ability to talk directly using your mobile phone with a pharmacist, for me, that really resonated. I mean, you said in your opening story that idea of talking to the pharmacist when there's other people within earshot is a little bit unsettling. So I wondered if you'd tell us a little bit about how important that is in the vision of Capsule.
It's essential. Healthcare is so high trust, and you need to be able to. There's this old joke when you talk to a doctor, you know, every time you go get a physical, they always ask you, you know, do you smoke or drink? And if doctors were reporting that, it would be like nobody in America ever smokes or drinks. There's something about it being personal and in your hand, but also being a human that I think has sort of made that experience, made the trust actually higher. And so in this really sort of non-intuitive way where you would think the face-to-face would be the way that you would build the highest trust and actually be able to ask the questions you have. Moving that to a medium where it's still a human, it's still somebody you trust, but you're not actually like face-to-face feeling like you're judged about any question you have has been a really important thing. And so it's this intimate personal experience that I think has let us build these really high trust, long-lived relationships with the people that use these capsules. I think it's really important that everything in healthcare is really high trust, because that's ultimately what's really important. And so whether that's seeing your doctor in that format or it's speaking with a pharmacist or anybody else, I think that that is absolutely going to be something that continues to kind of transition the consumer experience across healthcare. And I think COVID has absolutely accelerated that trend, because people have been effectively forced to interact with the healthcare system that way.
It's really, that's an excellent, excellent point. I mean, we've been talking about the fact that you think about technologies that were being considered for rollout in 2, 5, 8 years are coming online today due to the pandemic. And I will tell you, I mean, just from my personal experience with my mom, who's 94. She's been doing, you know, she's not been able to go to the doctor's office. So they've been doing the telemedicine. And she made a comment a few weeks ago. She goes, why didn't they think of this years ago? This just saves me so much time and trouble. And that leads to my next question, which is, you look at the people that are taking advantage of Capsule, taking advantage of the online opportunity to receive their medications. What is the demographic that you're seeing most that are taking this advantage of this the most?
We built it, the mission of Capsule is to build a pharmacy that works for everyone. And from the very beginning, it was important to us that we were able to serve a really broad demographic of people. And so whether you were really tech forward and you do everything on your phone with an app, like great, we have a beautiful mobile experience that's in an app that is really seamless. If you're more comfortable using technology on your computer and a web browser, you can interact with Capsule that way. If you're really comfortable over text message, you can interact with Capsule that way. If you like good old fashioned phone, you can engage with Capsule that way. And so we built the product so that everybody could use it in the way that they're comfortable, so that we're building and designing the experience around the individual consumer. And so we've seen a broad demographic of people use Capsule, everyone from the elderly to parents who use it for the newborn children and everything in between. And then specifically during the pandemic, we saw a pretty massive increase in the proportion of our new customers that were actually 50 plus. And so kind of echoes maybe some of your own personal experience with your mother, where we have people who were never, who were never exposed or who never really tried digital health things or new ways of engaging with retail experiences for the first time, really doing that by necessity and then coming out of that experience kind of saying, wow, like this is amazing and I want to continue interacting with my retail experience this way.
Yeah, that made me a little bit nervous, Eric. You said, well, what we found is people coming on are 50 plus, and from your own personal experience, I'm like, dude, do you have to out me for being over 50? But yes, I think it's absolutely fantastic. And I do believe that it's an area, when you talk about the transaction that you have with a pharmacist, and I remember growing up and we had a pharmacy that we went to, and it was in a small town, and we never deviated from that. And there was a relationship there and a trust factor there. And I think that you have to have trust with your pharmacist because they're giving you something that's going to extend your life or heal you or any number of things. But I believe that people, I don't know that, that with the proliferation of pharmacies in the drugstores, in the malls, the big box stores, I'm just not so sure that intimate relationship exists as much. And I think that probably provides an opening to have an offering like this where people feel like, well, this is no different, but even better because I have immediate contact. And there is while you like to have that relationship, oftentimes you go to a drugstore, you don't know the pharmacist because it's somebody that's working that particular day, that particular shift. Where back in the day, it was the same person every day from, 9 o'clock till 5 o'clock. So it is answering, I think, or providing a solution to something in terms of ease and in terms of trust. And I think that your model really speaks to where we're moving and probably where we need to be.
Well, Eric, you know what? I know that you founded the business in New York. And I actually think, side note, that since you had your brainstorm in January in New York, when NRF usually hosts their big show and was probably talking about innovation, I think there was a lot of good karma there. But okay, you founded your business in New York. And now amidst the pandemic, you're expanding your business. Tell us a little bit about the expansion plans and how you've kind of mobilized your teams to get ready to build the business going forward.
Hey, can I ask a question on that too, Eric? I mean, so this is just adding on, but there's been a lot of questions and concerns about delivery and, the slowdown, you're not getting it in the timely fashion that you normally would because of the volume. How are you addressing that? So that's like five questions that you get to answer now.
One of the things we started seeing in mid-March, as the New York was the epicenter of the virus spreading. And so we saw a tremendous increase in demand in March and April and through the summer. And our team has just done an amazing job of stepping up to the challenge to serve the community and really being a part of sort of the essential kind of fabric of the sort of infrastructure of, you know, businesses that were open and needed to be open during the pandemic. And one of the things that I've spent a lot of time over the last 5 years doing in New York is building the operational and technological capabilities and expertise to be able to rapidly expand the business. And so when the pandemic hit, we were able to relatively quickly meet the demand that we were seeing on the business pretty seamlessly. So I'm really proud of the way the team was able to step up, was able to continue serving people that needed, you know, continuous uninterrupted access to their medications at a time where it was dangerous, you know, to not be quarantining, to not be, you know, socially distancing. And that's all because of the investments we've made, you know, in the technology platform from day one. And so that's been, I think, really great to see how the business has been able to scale pretty rapidly. Our delivery metrics have stayed very, very consistent despite, you know, the massive increase in demand that we saw. And then, you know, we got, you know, because we've built the operational expertise, because we've built the technology expertise, you know, we saw a lot of different people across a bunch of different entities wanting to come and partner with Capsule, whether that was local governments or hospitals or doctors, to really take care of the people that they serve. And so being able to step up and be a part of the solution and helping contain the spread of the outbreak was something that was really important to us. And obviously New York was our home market where we started, and we started there, but pretty quickly, you know, made the decision that we should also see if we can support other communities that have been hard hit with COVID. And so we expanded out to Westchester County, which was a hotspot, Boston, Chicago, Minneapolis, and parts of New Jersey. And we did all that relatively quickly to be able to support those communities as they sort of battled and kind of went through their own progression with, you know, containing the spread of the outbreak.
Is Florida calling?
I would hope. If they're not, you need to provide the number. So, you know, we have a lot of students that actually listen to this program, and especially this summer, many of the student intern programs with the retailers have been postponed, or they're doing it virtually. And many of them are using this as part of their curriculum during their internship. And a lot of these students are entrepreneurs. They're drawn to retail because they like to think about the next best thing, something that nobody else had thought of, or building on a success that others have recognized, but doing it in a different way. If you were to give advice to somebody that was a junior, rising senior, about to head out, you know, a lot of it is about taking the risk, but how do you do it in a way that's smart, Eric? I mean, you didn't get mad, you got even. I mean, you left the pharmacy and you're like, all right, see ya. And basically, you've provided an alternative that people will never have to have the experience that you have had, and you've built on that and made a successful business. What would you advise these students?
My biggest learning in retrospect is probably that your head and your heart really have to align to not make it feel risky to do something entrepreneurial. And what that means is that, you know, the heart part of starting a company or doing something entrepreneurial, and there's a lot of different ways to be entrepreneurial that's not starting a company, but I think your head and your heart have to align. And the heart part is really, do I understand this pain point? Do I understand this consumer? Do I have this like visceral feeling that when things get tough, when my initial idea isn't spot on what I thought it would be and things get tough, do I have this sort of fountain of kind of confidence and conviction to come back to? Because you just understand the problem and the pain point and the consumer so well that will kind of be that, you know, motivating force that lets you continue to push forward when things get tough. And the head part is, you know, do you understand the business and the market and how this can become an actual business and not something that's a hobby? And I think those two things have to come together, because I think if you are only pursuing something that is your, you know, just the heart part, you can potentially run the risk of, you know, doing something that can never become, you know, a business and a big business, something that's sustainable. And I think on the flip, if you only do the head part and you don't have the heart part, the minute the going gets tough because your initial assumptions were incorrect, you don't have that reserve of confidence and energy to keep pushing through and iterating to, you know, what the consumer really needs and to solve the problem. Yeah. But I think when those two things click, you've got the signal that it's time to kind of jump off the proverbial cliff and take that risk.
Not just a sinus infection. You know, that's not going to do it.
Not just a sinus infection. It might do
might
it.
Help. Eric, I don't know if you've ever listened to our program before, but we have a segment before we wrap up, and I've gotten the high sign that we need to wrap up, but you would not be probably familiar with this, and we call it Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
Now, what we're going to do is very simple, and it's just ask you a question, and you just tell us the first thing that comes to mind. Don't overthink it. Just the first thing that comes to mind. So, Eric, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Susan, lead us.
Favorite movie ever?
Shrek.
Love it.
I love that. That is fantastic. I would get my little Shrek doll, but it's in the other room. So, that sounds so creepy. So, who or what inspires you, Eric?
My mom. She's an entrepreneur herself.
Cool.
Dog or cat?
Dog.
So what is the last book that you read or the book that you are recommending to people to read?
There are two books. One is called On Wings of Eagles, and it's this incredible true story about a company and the leader of a company basically breaking his like top lieutenants out of prison in sort of like a very hostile government coup environment. It's a true story. And we give it to everybody when they start at Capsule. As a sort of kind of like idealistic version of what, you know, loyalty and teamwork really mean. The idea of, you know, if that were ever to happen to anybody on the team, I'd like to think that we would do everything in our power to look after our teammates and that we would look after one another. And the other book that I think is wonderful is something we also give everybody when they start at Capsule is a book called The Checklist Manifesto. And it's just really simple. It's sort of the power of doing simple things that drive incredible outcomes. And so they've got all this research around, you know, using checklists in all walks of life can create, you know, really safer, better outcomes, whether it's airline pilots or surgeons or all the other things. So those are the two books we give folks when they join Capsule.
Checklists are important. Susan, close us out.
All right. Last one. Quick. Dark chocolate or milk chocolate?
Dark chocolate.
Excellent.
Because it has more antioxidants.
I think dark chocolate is a health food.
I'm right there with you, Eric.
I think of ice cream as a health food too, just FYI. Calcium, that's what's important. Well, Eric, thank you so very much for taking the time to visit with us. And if people want to learn more about Capsule, where should they go?
They should go to capsule.com.
Awesome. Susan Retta, it's always wonderful to spend time with you.
I had a good time and I enjoyed speaking with you, Eric.
Thanks, Bill and Susan. This is really fun.
And look, if you want to learn more about Retail Gets Real, you can find more information at retailgetsreal.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. During these times of a pandemic, it's an odd ending, but we ended the same way. Stay safe, be well. And we'll see you next time. Thank you.